Daniel chapter 2, we find a story of Nebuchadnezzar and a dream that he could not remember. We find ourselves at a time when the structures mentioned in this chapter have occurred historically, and we're coming to the time of the end. It bears on us to know some of these things and rehearse them, and to give ourselves then food for thought for the coming week. Daniel chapter 2 says, this is in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar, his spirit was troubled in his sleep, broke from him. The king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. He asked for his spiritual advisors, and you see, using a term, they're all from the dark side. And the king said to them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. I wanted to know the purpose of it. And he spoke the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, which was the official language of the time. King, live forever, or long live the king. Tell your servants the dream, and we'll show you the interpretation. But the king answered and said, the thing is gone from me. He had forgotten it. If you will not make known to me the dream with the interpretation, you'll be cut into pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. He's extremely quick with his evaluation, and he could see that these magicians, soothsayers and so forth, astrologers, needed to be called on to do what they were to do. But if you show the dream and the interpretation, you shall receive of me gifts, rewards, great honor. So show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. Then answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show it to you. Well, the king responded, I know of certainty that you would gain the time because you see the thing is gone from me. Again mentions, I can't remember it, and I think you're just playing time games with me, and you're trying to hedge against the fact that you know that I will require this of you, or else you will be killed. So if you'll not make known to me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. Or the astrologers, they're there, say, there isn't a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. There's no king, lord, nor ruler who will ask such things of any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that you require all of this, and none of us can show it to you except there be these other gods. And you notice the small g. The only one that can do these things are not dwelling with flesh. For this cause, the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went forth, and the wise men sought to be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, well, why is this decree so hasty from the king? So Arioch explained it to Daniel. So then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and he'd show the king the interpretation. So Daniel then went to his home, and with the other three, that became known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they desired mercies then of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in the night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Now in these last two verses, the word secret has occurred twice. In this chapter, you'll find it's used seven times. In all of the King James versions, generally, it's understood that it occurs 70 times as a word. So you take one-tenth of those times is in this one chapter. And it's an unusual word that you would find in the Word of God, secret. You do not usually use that word in the connotation of something that is godly. Secrets are something usually that you hold because they spell out details of something that is to be considered no good or that you keep calm and quiet about. But that is not the case in this instant. But he says, the God of heaven can reveal this secret. And it was then, as a secret, revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Some of what we're going to read about this awesome statue God that is in this remaining verses, has to be considered from your perspective. There's some secrets that you know, some unfolding of biblical truths that the rest of the world is not privy to. And God has seen fit to reveal to you some of those secrets. Secrets are not known by all. God is the one who calls us. And his revealers of secrets, as he reveals them to us, tell us that there are some wonderful things. Over in Genesis 40, verse 8, let me read for you. This is in the time of Joseph. They said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there was an interpreter of it. There is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Understanding dreams is something that belongs to God. God was the one that established this dream. Nebuchadnezzar forgot it, but knew that it had a great importance, and only God could reveal it. So, when you start thinking of that, while you're not Daniel and you're not Joseph, what dreams has God revealed to you? Verse 20 of Daniel chapter 2. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Something to consider in light of the sermonette. Our president has been established by God. Well, a lot of Democrats voted and Republicans voted. It is God that is controlling the events here on earth. He doesn't control every vital detail, but His plan of salvation is what is being worked out. What we see our nation on the brink of, and the potential implosion that is entirely possible, God is well aware of. He needs to send Christ to this earth and return right government to mankind. So in verse 22, the third time secret is used, he reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dweller dwells with him. He knows what's right and wrong. He knows what Satan will desire to do. He knows that he wishes to erode your foundation for you to become a destroyed person. Daniel said, I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might and has made known unto me now what we desire of you. For you now have made known unto us the king's matter. God makes known these things, and that is important for you to remember from the very beginning of your understanding of the ways of God. There's a lot of things to understand. I can't say that I have a perfect knowledge of the events of the Bible. I haven't come to that maturity. It's probably impossible, this side of being a spirit being. Many things are there for you to learn. But you have been set upon a course, and God knows the course that he has set you to walk. So in 24, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, destroy not the wise men, bring me before the king, and I'll show the king the interpretation. So quickly Arioch brought the Daniel before the king, it says in haste, and said unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah, who will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Now Daniel then says to the king, the secret which the king has demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show the king? But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets. And I again remind you that while you might sometimes look at this whole chapter and be more concerned with the image, look at it in a personal sense that he has given you some secrets. So what has been known and revealed these secrets to makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. He's revealing to you prophecy. Your dream and the visions of your head upon the bed are these. As for you, O king, the thoughts came into your mind upon the bed of what should come to pass hereafter. Again, he's showing you prophecies, things that are going to come to pass, an indication that God was even working with Nebuchadnezzar's mind. The terrible man that he was, the awesome power that he held, and what he did in Babylon. He that reveals secrets makes known to you what shall come to pass. You know, God has revealed certain things to you too of what's to come to pass. And he set before every one of us the choices of life and death. Daniel says, as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than anything else that's living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that you might know the thoughts of your heart. And your heart then has knowledge of these secrets, and what you do with them is so intimately and personally important. It is your salvation at stake with what you do with the knowledge that has been given to you. You, king, saw and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before you, and the form thereof was terrible. It was awesome. And the image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. And you know that to be a general outline of the history of the great empires of the earth. And they have not all come about just yet. And you saw till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were of iron and clay, and those feet broke into pieces. So we find some important things, that the iron and clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broke to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Over in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2, and keeping a finger in your Daniel 2 chapter, Daniel 2 is reminded of us here in Isaiah 2, verse 2. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. That is going to happen. And many people shall go and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That is what is going to happen. In your life today, it is starting. God's instruction to you is on your lap, on your table, and you read it. And you must drink of it daily. You can't let it just be something you do comme ci, comme ça. You must have a program concerning the salvation opportunity that is given to you. You could also look at Deuteronomy 32, the first four verses. Micah 4, verses 1 and 2. Let me read that one to you. Micah 4, in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established in the top of the mountains, and they shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. And many nations will come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Just almost a word for word of what we saw in Isaiah 2. Salvation only comes by Christ. That's what it says in Acts chapter 4. Acts 4 verses 10 and 11. Be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even unto him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And then there's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. We did all drink the same spiritual drink, and they drank of the spiritual rock and followed him, and that rock was Christ. So when we go back to Daniel, and in that chapter 2, verse 35, I think it was, let me check that it was 35. Yes. That stone is Jesus Christ, cut out without hands. And he's going to find that his government will fill the entire earth. He started that program with you today. So this is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation before the king. Therefore, O king, you are a king of kings, and the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. Nebuchadnezzar's position was there because God gave it to him. Your position here is because God has given it to you. It isn't something you've reached for and grabbed. And while you might reach and you might grab, inspiration comes from God. 38, and whosoever the children of men dwell, wherever they dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of heaven, has he given into your hand, and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. And hopefully we can remember, be reminded of what it said in Genesis 1, that we're to have dominion. And he said that there was dominion then that mankind was to have over all of these systems of developing life that follow after its kind. All that life, plant, animal, fauna and flora, they're all after its kind. And we can have dominion over them. As Daniel found that this was then the case with Nebuchadnezzar, he says, you're that head of gold. And indeed, he was part of God's plan. There's going to be another kingdom inferior to you, and a third kingdom and of brass, and they're going to bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom will be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, and as iron it shall break in pieces and bruise. So there's some terrible hurt and pain. And so, as we go on and we read about these things, we find that it's important to see who are we telling these wonderful things to? What does God see for us? What does God see in us? But you did see, verse 41, the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, and the kingdom shall be divided. And there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as you saw the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And when you saw the iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. You find today in the European Union that they do not agree on how to solve their problems. And what they try to devise is coming apart. How it will fracture is one thing. How it reconstitutes itself is another. And you find yourself at a pivotal time as you watch Europe come apart and the Western societies like America and Britain come apart. And how will they be finding restructure? Will Rome find itself the head of all governments in a monetary system? Is that possible? Yes. But it says in verse 44, in the last days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and a break in pieces, and the iron, the brass and clay, the silver and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. No doubt about it. And the only doubt that can possibly exist is your personal doubt. I would prefer that all of us look at it in a very positive vein, because he has started working with us, and hopefully then we can see it through and know that the dream for our lives, the secret that he has told us to know about ourselves, is sure and certain to take place. The king then worshipped Daniel, honored him, and the king answered Daniel in 47 and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing that you could reveal this secret. So Daniel was rewarded, made ruler over the whole province of Babylon, chief of the governors. And he requested to set up his friends over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. And what secret has God revealed to you? Over in John, Gospel of John, chapter 6. I pose it as a question. What secrets has God revealed, developed, and given to you? I know the answer in part. It's important for you to know it complete. John 6:44 says, "No man can come to me, to the one who is cut out without hands, except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day," or at the last day. How is it that you know? Again, I don't think it's because you chose. Because this way to walk is not an easy walk. In talking with the people in Abaco, there's very few of them. There is a Seventh-day Adventist church on the island. We passed it. And there are Seventh-day Adventists in the teaching community. And every time these ladies that are faithfully following God's way do something that is considered by the Seventh-day Adventists as inappropriate according to their laws and understanding of Sabbath and so on and so forth, they complain to them. Well, you're doing that. And they're judged. Activities are scrutinized closely by others on the island. It's a small island, long and skinny, 115 miles long, but sometimes you can see from one side to the other. It's a beautiful place. If you look at it as a something to study geographically, you'll find that the people who go there consider it the sailing and boating capital of the world. Diving and fishing there are unbelievable. It's one of the best places for ocean fishing that I've ever read about. And the number of fishing boats in the harbor would tell me that for sport fishing. I'd love to do some of that. I think you'd enjoy it too. It's a beautiful place. But to realize that it's a very closed community and whatever you would do there will be judged because you stand out and are unique. Well, verse 44 says you're unique because God has called you. Over in verse 63, the same chapter, "It is the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now there's some that don't believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who were they that believed not and who would betray him. And he said, therefore say I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given of him by my Father." And he knows that there's betrayers. And that cannot be you and me. We cannot let that happen. Chapter 7, verse 28. Just across the page. John 7:28. "Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying," he just talks so loudly and boldly, "You know me and you know from where I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you do not know. But I know him, for I am from him and he has sent me." Can you say this applies to you? How well do you know yourself? Over in John chapter 9, the first 12 verses are about a blind man. I want to read this as a closing scripture for us to consider. John 9. Jesus passed by and he saw a man which was blind from his birth. His students said, "Master, who did the sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Sometimes you're born for a purpose. Does that affect any of you here? Were you born for a purpose? I don't know, but you can know the answer to that. Maybe you were born to be called. He says in 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, and the night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." So when he had thus spoken, he spread on the ground, made clay with a spittle, anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means the pool that is sent. And he went his way there and washed, and he came seeing. The neighbors therefore said unto him, you were blind. Aren't you the one that was blind? Aren't you the guy that used to sit and beg because you couldn't see?" And some said, "Yeah, that must be him." Others said, "Well, I don't know, maybe he just looks like him. I'm not sure." Therefore said they unto him, "How were your eyes opened?" And that's what you ask yourself. How were your eyes opened? He answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said unto me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' And I went and washed, and I received sight." They said, "Well, where is he?" He says, "I don't know." This man was born for a purpose, and he's a type of all mankind. Mankind in general does not see the secrets that have been revealed to you. The secrets that you see are very unique. And it's while we look for growth and we want things to be better in the future, we don't want to see our people, our nation, mankind hurt by the cataclysms that we see so possible in this day and age because of the bankruptcy in all factions of life, moral, financial, education. There is bankruptcy everywhere. What are we about? Well, we're about our Father's business. And He, for some reason, lets our eyes see when most eyes do not see. But we pray and we work so that we can make sure that if there is another pair of eyes out there that will see, that we have done our job. You're not Daniel. You're not Joseph. You are who you are. I am who I am. We must be about our Father's business. Thank God we know the secrets.